I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 460. It's called Tomb Raider, so I'm gonna raid them all.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so good right now. So good right now. Such a great time to be a gamer. Oh my lord.
Just to be outside of what happened.
Oh my lord.
Let's address the elephant that's in the room.
Wait, there's an elephant in the room?
I mean, I don't know if you've been following with news or Facebook or whatever.
I have. I was going to do that at the end.
So well, we started
positive.
No, because we should address the bad now and then fully stay in the middle and end on a high note. My condolences and my heart goes out to anyone who was affected by the terrorist attacks that were hitting Paris at the end of last week. Our thoughts are with you. You know, for people who are still waiting to hear if people are safe, you know, keep your hope up. And hopefully we will get that resolve. I mean, I've always wanted to go to Paris, so now I'm a little saddened that now there's this fear.
But it shouldn't be a fear, and that's the thing, is that what I think people need to recognize is that an attack on one area doesn't mean that that area is not safe. It just means that for this particular day and time, people were able to pull something off. And you have to understand that moving forward, things are not going to be the same. Securities will change. Processes will change. You know, just like after 9/11, things changed on how we travel and different places that are open to the public and that are not open to the public. You know, those things will change. But you cannot allow a group activity that is just so abhorrent and not a norm keep you from pursuing those things, because then they really do win. So if you want to travel and you want to see Paris, obviously today is not the day to do that, but don't make it so that you don't ever go because of this one act, because then they win. So if you want to see Paris, don't give up that goal. You can absolutely still do that, just like you can travel the world if you like. I'm not saying don't be afraid, but what I'm saying is be cautious and be smart and pursue your dreams and your goals.
Oh.
Okay?
So good.
All right.
That's why you're the older sister.
Wisdom. Hashtag I has it.
Anyway.
You know, because you got to bring that back to...
Right, to the positive.
To the positive. So, a couple of things. I don't know that it's necessarily positive or not. So one, the Game Show Awards are going off again this year. They're going to be in, I think in LA, yeah, on December 3rd. So just like last year, Jeff Keighley's team, they're still doing it all independent style. It's not on Spike. They're running their own thing. They do have a couple of sponsors. The nominees for the 2015 Game Awards came out. There's a bunch of people in my social circles, and we'll talk about all of the nominees here, because as you know, we will do a recap show. And who knows, maybe we'll watch it live since it's streaming on the web, and maybe we'll freaking Twitch the shit. I don't know. We might.
What?
Yeah, we got the gear now, so we might.
Oh, I know we do.
We might Twitch the shit. So we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see. But there are a lot of people in my social circles who are a little upset that a couple of games didn't receive a nomination for the Game of the Year. Now, Game of the Year is
I don't care who is throwing the video game award ceremony. Game of the Year is always a very personal category, I feel, because and is very hard to be subjective as a member of the community about nominees, because you always feel that the game that you love should be Game of the Year. And it's regardless of whether or not it sold well, it plays well for all gaming levels, casual and hardcore or not. You know, those factors don't come into, I had such a great experience with this game, it's totally Game of the Year for most people. And I find that in the journalistic circles that I run in, and that you run in, Panda, is that it's a highly contentious topic, and what flavors it is everyone's bias about the game that they really feel should be Game of the Year, not necessarily because it's better than anything that was nominated by a jury or a panel for an award, but because it's the game that they love. Their own personal biases come through, and yet they won't admit to that.
I mean, how do you even get on those panels to pass judgment on games?
Well, it depends, because whoever is putting on the show usually picks their advisory panel or their jury panel. So in this case, Jeff Keighley and his entertainment group pick the panel. And, you know, here's the thing. We all have seen the studies come out recently saying that, hey, guess what? The majority of console purchasers in the U.S. are actually women, not men. And I saw one comment on somebody who shared that story on Facebook, be like, yeah, because they're buying them for their boyfriends. I'm like, no, actually, that's not true. The stigma of
I've never bought a console for any of my boyfriends. I mean, correct. I did buy KBD his PS3.
Right, but like, that's because you're a good, awesome friend.
He did good work.
You know, that's what you do when you have the ability, is you bring people along up with you. You give back, right? But it really made me upset, because the stigma over being a gamer is gone. For the negative, like, oh, it's because you don't know how to be social and things like that. No, I do know how to be social. I know how to compete in competitions where the grand prize is $500,000, so you can shut the fuck up about me not being able to socialize as I try to get this prize money. And even if I don't get it all the way to the finals, I'm at least going to clear $5,000. What did you do today?
I'm going to make that money and make myself a sandwich.
You went to Starbucks. Good for you. You know, that stigma is gone. And I think that we are getting closer and closer to the negative stereotypes about being a female gamer to be a thing of the past. We're not there yet. I'm not saying that we are there yet. There is still so much, so far to go. But the community is much more embracive these days of females at conventions, females at competitions, and not the degrading thing that always happened more today than in the past. Like, I've seen a change in the last two PAX Easts, PAX East, and two, almost three E3s that I've gone to, where the audience demographics have changed and are skewing more female, where the marketing pushes are less dudes, check out these chicks, trying to get you to take a look at our game, and more, here's our gameplay, here's our story, here's our lead developer, why don't you come talk? Like, there's definitely that shift, and I think it's because the demographic of the landscape has changed. There are more women gaming today than in the last decade. And there are more women transitioning from casual gamer to hardcore gamer. So I think that's part of the reason why you see the change in some of the stories and some of the characters and some of the leads and that kind of thing, which is great. But you don't necessarily see that reflected in the higher levels. As an example, for the video game award show, the jury that selected these nominees, and for the most part, votes on the winners, there's only one chick.
Of how many? Panel of like 12, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's like 12 or 14.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got a little ways to go, but up for Game of the Year, And please understand, I don't really disagree with any of these, really. But up for Game of the Year, Bloodborne.
Okay.
Fallout 4. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Super Mario Maker. And Witcher 3.
Okay.
Now, here's my only thing about this. The majority of my social feed blew up and was like, why isn't Tomb Raider on the list? And I started to say, well, it just came out this week, so yeah, it's kind of not fair.
But they're giving Fallout.
And then my brain... Hold on, Panda. But then my brain went, but so did Fallout 4. So how can Fallout 4, which has only been out at the time that the nominees came out, for 24 hours be on this list, but Tomb Raider isn't?
Right.
I can understand that argument. I don't think that any game that hasn't been out for at least a couple of months really should be allowed on any game award show, whether it's a podcast, broadcast, just a write-up article, I don't care. A game has to be out for a little while so that the community can have access to it, so that, you know, more than just reviewers have a chance to play it. Because the devil's advocate side of me was like, well, it's probably because everybody on this jury has been playing Fallout 4 for like 3 weeks versus it just coming out. So they have the same thing for Tomb Raider because they probably got early.
They have more knowledge.
Right. So they probably have been playing it and have had access to it longer than just its release. So it's, you know, six in one, half a dozen of another, right? You want a game show to be reflective of the community and the people who buy the goods and play the goods and that kind of thing. But when you come down to it, most awards that are given out for an industry are selected by industry members and voted on by those industry members. Those industry members have access to all of that stuff much, much earlier than the public. So I go back and forth on going, okay, well, they probably had enough time to be like, yeah, Fallout 4 is like the bomb because they've been playing it for a month or two. You know, they probably got early access to different levels at Bethesda because they're heavy hitters in the industry. So, you know, they probably have had that experience that we are just now in the community getting to experience. That being said, it's very possible that just the people on the panel don't think that Rise of the Tomb Raider is in the same category as Fallout and as The Witcher and as Super Mario Maker. Like, when you look at all the games that are up for Game of the Year, they're all extremely deep, extremely time-intensive games that offer very, very different but very, very rich experiences.
Okay.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. I did not finish Bloodborne. I will never finish Bloodborne. I appreciate Bloodborne for what it is.
You didn't even get out of the start area.
I didn't. I got off the first level. It took me for fucking ever. And after that, I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm done. This is not for me. I am not this level of gamer. I am not down for this kind of punishment. Let me go play something fun. Hi, Destiny.
It was a good game. It had.
It's a very good game.
Without a lot of...
Dude, this is what I'm saying. I have watched Let's Plays of it, and I tip my hat to people because it's a very clever game. It's a really good story. It was not for me. I sucked at the mechanics, and I'm beyond my punishment games, if you will.
That game required you had to adopt one or two game styles for that game. You were either like me, who went very slow through a level and had a particular set of how I was going to fight, depending on what I was fighting against, which I got far, but it took me three times as long as my Biffle, who would just slash and dodge like a mofo and was...
Right. You either had to go the thinking man's route or almost the brawler route, right?
Almost.
There still needed to be some strategy there.
And timing, effective timing.
Right. Nah. And I tried to go the brawler route, and I sucked at it. And I did not have the patience to do the slow and steady route. And so I just let that go. But that's me personally. I still respect the game. It is a great game. Like I said, I watched a lot of Let's Plays because I really wanted to experience the story. And typically what I do when I'm not able to finish a game is that I will go on YouTube and I will check out some of my favorite video game YouTubers to see if they've played the game, and I will watch through their gameplay so I can have and experience the end as opposed to just watching the end of it. I prefer doing it that way, and it's a lot of fun. So I did watch the completion of the game, and I thought it was great, and it is. It's a very deep game. It's a very involved game. I do think that it is very worthy of being nominated as a Game of the Year contender. I feel the same way about The Witcher. Yes. But I felt that way about The Witcher the first time I went hands-on with it at E3. Like, it's an amazing, amazing game, you know? And so I feel that it deserves to be up there. You can't knock how creative Super Mario Maker is.
Nope, absolutely not.
Okay, and it's a creator game. It's not just the, okay, here's more Super Mario platforming, but it's, you know, community. Make the Mario level of your dreams and desires and put it out there for the world to play. And holy heck, like, that's ridiculously awesome and a completely different way to allow people to experience your IP in a safe way, right? Like, right. People are just making Mario levels, and they have all the tools that are in Mario games to make
levels. And they're just as grueling as Bloodborne.
And they really are, you know? So there's punishment there, and there's also rewarding and just fun and just, you know, quirkiness, and it's all community-driven, and it runs really well. So I do think that it deserves a nod as, hey, this is a potential game of the year. Like, when you put all those pieces out there, it is. Like, I have not touched Fallout 4.
I thought about getting it.
I don't know if I'm going to touch Fallout 4, because I have a feeling that if I do, it's going to be just like Destiny. I'm going to jump into it. And I'm not going to come out for, like, a long time.
Your fro will be, like, double fro.
A long time. Because it took Assassin's Creed to get me off of Destiny. Because I was hard on Destiny for, like, a year.
Oh, I know.
And a month.
And our audience knows.
Yes, and then Assassin's Syndicate came out, and it was good. So good. So good!
I know. This game that we're going to talk about later on the show, it's kind of pulled me out of Syndicate, which is bad because I had such a great start.
You gotta at least finish the main campaign in Syndicate. I would say at this point, I don't know what level you are, but if you've been doing the side missions, stop doing that and just finish the main brawler missions, because you have Game Plus, so as soon as you finish those, you can still go back and collect all the things and do the Dickens and Darwin and Karl Marx memories and go after all the Helix things. Like, none of that goes away when you complete the main story. So I would say you could focus on critical pathing it at this point. As long as you're, like, level 8 or above, you can just focus on that.
All right.
And critical path it. Because when you finish the campaign in Syndicate, spoiler alert, you unlock missions with the Queen. And her missions are all level 10 missions. So if you're not level 10 at the point that you finish the story, that's why you continue to do all the side missions and stuff, so you can build up your skill points so you can get to 10 so you can do the Queen's missions.
Hmm.
So pretty much, once you get to 8, you can critical path and finish the story. And probably get to 9 by the time you finish the story.
I'm nodding in agreement.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So at least finish the story, because then you'd be like, all right, so I finished Syndicate, and you will have your story, and obviously the setup for the next game, because guess what? It ends with the setup for the next game.
Of course.
Which we knew was going to happen. Like, we knew after, like, the third game that Yubi was in for, like, a 10-year plan on Assassins, minimum. Okay, so we've got a few more Assassin's games to go, people.
I mean, going back to the nominees for Game of the Year.
Yes.
I mean, we all lost our shit. Or rather, the masses lost their shit when they announced Fallout 4. And I mean, we over here on the East Coast, primarily those of us who live in Boston or around Boston, felt even more pride when right. we found out that the setting was going to be in our backyards.
And they've done a phenomenal job of, like, picking up various local landmarks and translating them gorgeously into the game in the distant future. Like, Fenway looks amazing. Yeah, the Boston City Library, there's, I think Polygon had, like, a video that they posted of landmarks today in Boston versus how they look in the game. And so they would basically, like, swipe between them to be like, here's the Boston Public Library today. And then, like, 5 seconds later, it was like, and here it is in the game. So you could actually see just how detailed it really was. Like, Bethesda did their homework. It's not haphazardly Boston. It's legit. Right. Fountains are in there. Fenway's in there. Faneuil Hall's in there. Like, it's ridiculous.
I know they even show one of the places in Salem.
Yeah. So,
like, they definitely did their research, which yes. is very appreciated. I mean, don't get me wrong, Last of Us,
and
you know, had some stuff going down in Boston a bit.
Yeah, but still. And then, like, Phantom Pain. Come on, guys. Like, that game is deep.
It's got so many rabbit holes. We don't know where they all go
yet. But every game on the planet can't be up for Game of the Year. And, you know, I think that Rise of the Tomb Raider, which we're about to talk about, is a fantastic game. And we'll explain why it's a fantastic game. I'm personally, my personal bias is I'm a little, I won't say upset, I'm a little sad that it wasn't up for Game of the Year. But I do think it's up for, like, Best Narrative.
Well then.
I think it is.
I'm going to say this. So far, in my experience, I am enjoying what's happening in the game.
Oh, no. Tales from the Borderlands is up for Best Narrative. That's another one that people are like, it should be up for Best Game.
I don't know about that. Anyway, but I like what's going on in the game. But when I go back to the experience I had in the first Tomb Raider game, I feel like, and I mean, and this isn't a jab because everyone's saying, oh, this is like the best Uncharted. And we had to stop for a second and really kind of think about what we're saying, what people are saying when they say that. Because while Uncharted is great, and I can't wait for, you know, Thieves' End, and I'm waiting on my tippy toes and on bated breath for it. But if it hadn't been for the original Tomb Raider, we wouldn't have gotten Uncharted.
Correct.
So I don't know why people are talking about Rise of the Tomb Raider like, oh, it's just the better Uncharted. Like, they're talking down about it when you're just recycling
it's like,
it.
It's like Game Inception. You don't have an Uncharted if Tomb Raider didn't exist first, right? Because right. when Uncharted first came out, everybody's like, oh, it's male Lara Croft. Which, yeah, it is. Nathan was basically raiding tombs.
It had a kung fu grip.
It, you know, like,
get this grip onto anything.
And he was always, always enthralled by archaeology and
money and women.
Well, that too. Yeah. You know, because he is a dude. You know, Lara was always focused on the artifacts and the tombs and the story. And
her daddy.
And her dad. which doesn't change. But Rise of the Tomb Raider is up for Best Action Adventure Game at the Game Show Awards. So it wasn't completely snubbed. I just, you know, you can't have 15 games in Game of the Year. You kind of have to limit it down. And I don't disagree with the games that are up for a Game of the Year at the Game Show Awards. So we'll see how it goes. And like I said, we'll, you know, maybe we'll live Twitch it. If we don't, we'll at least live tweet it when the Game Show Awards go off. But I think it's going to be a really good year because it's a really good year for games. I mean, in that action-adventure category, Ori and the Blind Forest is up. Like, that's an amazing, amazing thing. Because, I mean, it's basically up against Syndicate, Batman Arkham Knight, Metal Gear, Tomb Raider, and then you have Ori.
Right.
Like, that's awesome. Because it is a great, and it is, very truly, an action-adventure game. So I'm really glad to see that it got nominated. Because Ori, I think, does not get the attention that it really should. Because it's an amazing game, and it's an emotional game, and Moon Studios did their thing. All right, so on to Tomb Raider, because we need to talk about Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider, go!
So, you're further along in your game than I am.
Yes, I started the conversation, but you have actually now picked up the game because you listened to me again.
Well, see, here's what had happened, okay?
You didn't listen to me.
Well, no. You told me.
I did.
It was good. That was good dialogue.
And that Thursday rolled around, rather that Tuesday, and I was like, I could get Fallout 4, or I could get Tomb Raider. And my Facebook was all, get Fallout! Get Fallout! I got the Pip-Boy edition! Look at me!
Yeah,
look
at me! That's the other reason why I didn't get Fallout, because I was like, I'd have to get a Pip-Boy.
But like, and I'm like, I ain't got the money for that, man. No. Not right now, and we ain't broke, bitch. I gotta save every penny.
Yeah. You know, because Rainbow Six is still out there.
I know. So I was like,
and the Division is looming out there.
And mind you, like, I get to the GameStop because, you know, I've moved, obviously. I'm no longer at Ash's quarters. Yep. And I had to find a GameStop that I could trust and I could love.
Truth.
And I finally found it.
Because not all GameStops are the same.
I finally found it, and I walk in, and this place had all the copies. Had copies of Fallout, had the copies of Tomb Raider, so I was like, good. I didn't have to, like, go three or four places to find one copy of one and then make that choice.
Right.
But they didn't have any of the Pip-Boy editions for Fallout. Right. I was like, that's okay, because, you know, Confession Central, I have not played a Fallout game. I bought Fallout New Vegas, and it's still in its shrink wrap.
So you didn't play 3?
Nope.
Ooh.
Nah. Okay. I admit that because
I appreciate your honesty.
But I didn't play it, but I had a bunch of friends who were like, oh man, it's so good when this happens. And I was like, yeah, I did that thing too. Awesome. And no one ever questioned me, so I just kind of went on with that lie. But then this came out, and everyone's like, aren't you excited for 4? And I'm like, yeah, as much as I was for 3 in New Vegas.
Panda. But that's okay. Again, I appreciate your honesty.
I hope our fans also appreciate that I'm coming clean with
that. No, you gotta be honest.
But I was actually kind of curious about 4, because, I mean, from Beantown, I'm like, this might be a way to jump me in and then make me want to do like I did with Mass Effect and go back. And I'm sitting there in line, and I have it in my heart that I'm going to say Fallout when I get up there. And I get up there, and he's like, what would you like? I'm like, Tomb Raider, please. And I was like, ooh. And I could have changed it, but my heart led me in the right direction. So I'm kind of glad I did that. And I get home, I load it up, and I'm happy. I'm not through the roof because I'm not very far in the story yet. Mm-hmm. And I played it. I played the original Tomb Raider, the reboot, on my PS4. And we're not getting the PS4 edition until late 2016. So I had to kind of reteach myself that, you know, I had letters instead of shapes on my controller, which led to a lot of, hey, I found this item and I jump at it. Oh, I meant X to pick it up. And my boyfriend's watching, and every time I'm like, oh, I found it, yay! And he's like, you forgot it's not square anymore, huh? And I'm like, I meant to press X, but I pressed what would have been square. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You always mean to press X.
You always mean, especially in this game so far, I've noticed that
you press X to everything.
Well, no, jump. To do your like death from above strike, or like your like sneak in the bushes, I'm gonna kill you strike. Those are wise.
Yeah.
But any time that you're jumping from a really high place to a lower high place, you better tap that X once you land, because you got those, you know, those quick time little, oh, steady yourself on the rocks, Laura, because if you don't, you're gonna fall and die. Or my famous, I'm inside this tomb, and there was a trap with some spikes in it, and I jumped over it the first time to grab something, wasn't thinking, ran back, fell through the pit, and died. And I was like, oh yeah, Laura, I forgot. I forgot that there were spikes there.
I'm sorry, Laura. I forgot that there were spikes down there. My bad.
We'll do that the right way.
Yeah.
We'll do that again.
Yeah, when I fired up the game, so I got the digital edition.
Ah.
So literally, and it was a beautiful thing. My Xbox Glass, because I have the app on my phone, pinged me with a notification at 11:59. Hey, your Tomb Raider's ready.
Oh, man.
You can play it right now. And I was like, thank you very much. So I said the command and turned my system on. And the reason why I'm not saying the command right now is because my system is right in front of me. So if I say it will do that. So I... at midnight jumped into the game and started playing. Now, midnight on a work night is not always
maybe not the best
decision to make to game, not because you have to go to work in the morning, because I can manage that. I really only need like 4 hours of sleep 3 times a week. But if you weren't prepared mentally to play a game at that time,
that requires you to have keen intellect, fast reflexes.
You might miss some things and die a lot. So I start up the game, and no lie, within the first 15 minutes of playing the game, I died like 4 times because I missed the quick time events.
Oh, man.
So I was like, oh, nope, she's dead. Yeah, all right, here we go. Brush that off. All right, so this time I know I'm going to jump over that thing. Okay, now I jumped over the thing. Okay, hey, there's spikes coming at me. I don't have a gun. How do I get rid of these? Oh, I was supposed to hit that with an arrow. That's why
I slowed down. Oh, I didn't have any problems with that. I've only run into so far in my gameplay only one place where I got the bear on the first try.
I did not get the bear on the first try. How did you get the bear on the first try?
Luck, because like there, here's the bear, and you gotta lure the bear out, and then you gotta haul ass so you can get out to the area, and like, and I'm dodging and I'm jumping, and like, and I hit it, boom, with my first stunning arrows, and then I put like 4 arrows in him, like pat pat pat, and then he swiped at me and he hit me, but he didn't kill me, and I was all like ow, and then like I rolled, and then I hit him with my next stunning one, bam, and then right in the eye, bam, and killed him.
Okay, so you're much better than that at me.
No, I just, when I get fearful, I just throw everything I have.
I literally did the same thing. It did not work out the same way for me.
I so lucked out.
It took me 3 times to get the bear.
But I got the bear on my first try, which was like, all right.
Because I messed up and used my stunning arrows, and I didn't, because I couldn't.
You got to pace them out. Because you can get a couple of pops into them once the arrow's taken effect. And if he happens to run through that cloud again, he'll slow down, but he won't take that
Didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
So I messed up. And after my second time, I was like, look, I need to finish this game. So I need to get past this bear. So I found this guy online who was like, look, it's a little bit slower if you do it this way, but you will get the bear every single time because the bear only comes out to the gate where you first enter.
Oh.
And he'll stand up. He's like, so when he stands up, hit him with your stun arrow, and then you can literally just weigh into him with arrows. And so if you hit him in the face with 4, he'll drop.
Oh, yeah. I got him right in the face.
So I was like, oh, okay. So I hit him with an arrow to bring him out, and as soon as he stood up, I hit him with my stunning arrow, and I hit him with 2 arrows, and I didn't realize that I needed to craft more arrows. So yeah. I was like, uh-oh, I'm out of arrows. So I started to craft, and he came out.
Oh, man.
And I was like, the guy did not say anything about him coming out, so he chased me all the way back to where you first jump up on the ledge to get the bear. And I lucked out that he glitched by a tree that was on that edge and just stood there walking, trying to turn around and go back, but he couldn't make the turn, so I just pegged him right in the ass.
Oh, you got him in the bear butt.
And it was funny because then the cinematic turns on, and of course in the cinematic you're in the center of the area where he came out. I was all way the fuck away from there, so it ran the cinematic. I was like, magic travel, because that's how Lara works.
Magic. The one place that I was just having all the bad luck was when you're going through, you go through the gulag, spoiler alerts, we'll backtrack to this because there's a whole bunch of backtracking in the game.
I love, by the way.
Oh, and that you can get, you have access to every place. There's no place that really locks you out of it, which is nice. But I digress. But I'm coming out of the gulag, and like the helicopter has landed to drop some stuff off, and there's like, I want to say 6 or 7 dudes, and you've got 3 up in sniper perches. Not that they're sniping, they're just lookouts. You've got one guy who's trying to fix like this electrical thing, and then you've got some ground dudes, and like, hey, it's time to be stealthy and like hide in your bushes and do all your things. So here I am with my, because I've reinforced my fucking bow. Like, I should just be like Last of the Mohicans. Like, I should just be native because I don't really use my gun. And I'm in my little bush. I'm all hidden. And like, and I'm pegging off everyone on the top because they're all yellow because they're doing that whole, if enemies can see other enemies, they're red. And you want to wait until they're yellow before you try to take them out. So everyone on top, they're all yellow. So like, I ping them all out. Well, I guess one of the guys down the bottom looks up at one of the guys at the top
And the guy that he looks at isn't there no more. And he's all like, hey, guys, fan out. We got company. So I'm like, oh, I'm in my bush, right? Like, this is good. They won't find me in the bush. Well, like, all four of them come at me. They'll
find you in the bush. You can't stay in the bush.
Right. Well, like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, if I don't move, they'll be like, oh, the coast is clear. And one of them stepped on me, and they all turned their guns on me, and, like, I couldn't even jump out. Like, they actually made it really good that, like, you can't just jump away, like, if they surround you. And they, like, phalanxed me, and they shot me. And I was like, ah, damn it to hell. And I was like, okay, this time I'm going to jump up, take out one sniper guy, walk to the other guy, hide, snipe that guy. And, like, and I think I have a solid plan. And, nope, somebody saw me. And they all just kind of turn tail and, like, get me. And I'm like, all right, fuck that. I'm going to have to go even slower this time. And, like, the whole time, like, I'm like, Jacob's probably already to, like, the drop-off zone. Like, he's probably like, where the fuck is this bitch? And I'm all like, I'm having problems. But and then that first real QTE thing where you're running from the helicopter in the fucking snow and you have to do the jumpy things. And if you don't hit the timing right, you fall in the water and they just shoot you through the water and you die. I had to go through that, like, 5 times.
I did not. I nailed that. I have missed a jump before. So in the game, basically, Lara, it picks up right after the previous game, like we mentioned.
It's a year later.
And Lara is really focused on this divine source thing. The
thing that drove her father mad, and
he was maybe made him kill himself.
I
don't think he did either. Because they focus way too much on that window being open.
Well, like, hey, Lara liked to go through it all the time.
Right.
But that's not even the part that has me thinking it wasn't him. Because, I mean, I don't know if any of you guys out there are playing it yet or not as far as I am.
Spoilers!
But, you know, there's a rat. That's all I'm going to say. There's a rat in the house.
Yeah, and I'm fairly certain that it was the rat.
I think the rat had something to do with
it. The rat did it.
But anyway.
And here's the thing.
Rat's a rat.
Rat's a rat.
And rats get what are coming to them.
Rats will get what's coming to them. Okay.
Raid and poison.
So in the game, basically, you are trying to track down the city of Katesh because that's where your father's research and you believe this divine source thing is.
Well, you
are
not the only... You make a link that your dad did not make.
Yes. But it's based off of his research.
Right.
Right? So, like, he was just on the path.
He did not connect the final dot. And Laura's all like, I connected the dot. I know what to live for. Right. And as soon as she has that all figured out, she gets mugged in her house.
Yeah.
But good thing our good friend Jonah, who made it through the first game, happened to have a mini fight and was on the premises. And he came to help out his girl. Though I have to give props to Jonah right now because he lost some weight.
Yeah.
He looking kind of fit right now, like, you know, like I'm ready to
When you have a life of death experience, like, you'd probably, like, I need to change some things about my life. So, good on Jonah for doing that. Because Jonah's, like, badass. He comes back into the game later, and you're like, yeah, what's up, Jonah? All right.
Don't get me wrong. It's not that he wasn't a badass in the first game.
But he was, like, Gerald LaVert in the first game, and now he's, like, on his way to being, like, Anthony Edwards today.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give that.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. Anyway.
So she connects that final dot and her eyes all open and Jonah's all like, I guess I'm coming with you. And you guys head off to Siberia. And like, here you are climbing these like jagged mountains and Laura's doing her whole, you know, I'm going to use these
on the ice pick thing the first time. I knew it was coming, but I didn't get the timing right.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like,
the second one where she falls back.
During that whole time where you're, like, swinging off of Jonah, I'm like, please don't fuck this up and kill Jonah because you've lost enough.
Yeah.
Have you not lost enough, Lara?
Yeah. Really? No, when you fuck it up, you both fall.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you go together. But anyway, through conveniences of plot, you get separated from Jonah and you try to warn him to not follow you because you gotta do this alone.
But Jonah's a good dude, so he does.
You're a strong, independent woman and you're ready to take on the tundra. You're willing to take on the wildebeests and the wolves and the snow leopard
who
ripped my throat out. Fuck you, snow leopard.
Oh,
fuck
you, the snow leopard.
Yeah, he got me good. I didn't realize because I had my natural instinct on. I thought it was like a wolf, and I'm like, that wolf has a weird dangly tail. And I'm like, hey, there's a cave here. Go in the cave, and he comes up behind me.
Yeah.
And got me.
Yeah.
Fucking snow leopard.
Yeah.
That's right, because then I turn around and I got him.
Yeah.
That's get for getting me.
Yeah.
I get straight hood up in this game. It's so weird. Anyway.
You do.
So, I apparently have adopted this philosophy in this game to explore everything.
Right. I have not explored everything because I am not critical pathing in the game, but we are playing it differently. I am basically, as I discover things, I do them. So I only go to the map when I'm looking for where my close camp is because I can't figure out from just the insight tip, which makes everything turn yellow when you tap down the R stick. If I can't figure out how to get to my base camp, I will bring up the map just to find the base camp, and I will pay no attention to any of the other markers because I'm like, if I run upon it, then I will engage it, but I'm mostly going to play the pieces that get me to the story because I can go back and I can fast travel at any point. So what I've been doing is playing a level to get to the end of the story and then going, okay, did I miss any murals or the things that improve my languages? So I can read things so I can see where they are. So like,
man, right now, I love that whole bit. Learning Mongolian, Greek, Russian. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, I am only level 5 with my Greek, level 2 or 3 with my Russian, and I think level 2 with my Mongolian. Because again, I haven't been...
I think I'm like level 3 for all of them now.
But I'm getting Where I am in the game is I'm a little bit different than you. And I do like the mechanics of, in order to discover where different relics are and
documents
and things that will help you get skill points to improve Lara's skills or hunting skills to improve Lara's hunting skills or survival points to basically improve her survival instincts. So that's... can be tracking of different people, crafting, that kind of stuff. You have to discover and engage different people. Like, there are people in the game as you clear areas that will give you side missions to run. Yeah. The various extra tombs, they're all optional tombs, are all things to help you build up that skill tree to just make Lara even
Here's what I've taken away from the tombs. Because, I mean, the game's called Tomb Raider. I don't think I even got through all the tombs in the first game, so I was like, I'm going to do my damnedest to hit up all the tombs. Hashtag all, the tombs. All tombs. Hashtag yes, all tombs.
No!
Yeah. And believe it or not, going through the tombs, you don't get a tangible relic. So far, all the tombs I've encountered, and I think I've pretty much gotten all of the ones that are available right now in the areas I've been in. They are these like encased tomes, literally, and they will give you, and they don't just enhance a skill that you have. It gives you an additional skill that you don't have to put points into. So it's pretty much like you earn a free skill that definitely helps out. Like,
so the optional tombs are actually really not optional. Do them.
Well, I'm just saying, I just got bright eyes. I'm about
to go back and do all of the ones that I
saw. Like, I got the ability that allows me to double shot arrows without having, so I didn't have to buy it in my skill tree because I have it intrinsically.
Yeah.
I just got bright eyes, which now I can see traps because they glow red.
Yeah. That's a really important
one. That's really good. That'd be really good for you.
It's one of the first ones I bought.
See, and I didn't have to buy any points in it, so now I can allot points to something else that I may have not purchased because of one of those other
things. I got the crafting tool instead of having to buy it from the shack.
Oh man.
Which was nice. I got a weapon. The moon shadow gun, I got from doing one of the optional tombs. That was pretty boss. So I've been upgrading that sucker like crazy. It looks like a freaking desert eagle because I have the extra clip on it and I have a silencer on it. It's my go-to gun.
So while they say they're optional, I would strongly...
They're not optional. Do them.
Because they do make your gameplay a lot easier.
But like the game is just so balanced. That's the thing. Like I had said before, and if you had a chance to check out my article on the website, you know that what this game needed to do was it didn't necessarily have to be bigger and badder than the previous game, but it had to have a really good story. It had to continue Lara's evolution into becoming the badass Tomb Raider that we know from the previous games. It didn't have to follow canon, but if it gave a nod to it, it would be great. And it's done all of those things. Like, I am enjoying playing this Tomb Raider a little bit more than the previous one, because I really like the mechanics. You know, the skill tree evolvement makes sense. The only thing I don't like is when cougars and bears pop out. So that's another reason that I probably, it's a personal thing, I probably should pay attention to the map a little bit more, so I know when I'm going into an area where there's bears.
Music cues when you get an exotic animal. Like, you'll get, when you first encounter the wolves, like, you should have gotten, like, a drum, bum, bum, bum. And it gets more and more intense the closer you get.
Yes.
I think the cougar has, like, the snow leopard has, like, a weird,
Snow leopard has one song. The cougar has a different song.
They all, but as soon as you hear them, I always go into my instincts about where you at.
And here's I know my you're thing. Here. I didn't pick up on that as fast as you did.
Oh, man, the minute my audio cue's different. Like, what's here?
Exactly. I knew there was something, but I couldn't see what.
Oh, man. It was my first instinct.
So I'm just like, gun. Got it. All right, what is coming at me? Because something is about to come at me. That's basically right. So my first thing is I back up so that it has to come out of whatever it's hiding in.
Oh, man, I always just get up in a tree and scan.
Yeah, like, but there's not always a tree. See, that's
You look for the nearest tree.
But, Panda, this is what I'm telling you, because I'm further along in the game than you are. There's not always a tree. And here's the thing. Cougars follow you upstairs.
Okay.
So if you just think, oh, I'll get on these stairs because there's a platform over there. No, they follow
you. And in all honesty, you should never run up a tree because bears and, like, snow leopards and cougars.
Right, are supposed to be able to climb all those things. So it's not really a safe thing.
It's not realistic in this game that they don't go up the tree.
Well, hey, guess what about cougars? So here's the thing. I dropped into an area and I was literally like, oh, new camp discovered. And as you know, typically near your camp, there's nothing that comes at you.
No.
At your camp.
That's not true.
I said typically.
Okay, because a wolf came at me once before I even hit X, and I'm like, let me deal with you, bitch. I'm trying to sit down and eat my food.
But when you literally walk up to your fire as you're about to go into the menu, usually things don't come at you.
Okay.
At that point.
You're right.
But a little bit of a glitch happened in my game, and a cougar did.
Oh,
so
well.
Literally, as Laura is sitting down to monologue,
she's
Cougar's like,
mauled
I got your face! And then my screen just went blank, and I was like, guys.
Oh, wow, that cougar broke your game.
That cougar broke my game.
But
I picked right back up where I was, so it wasn't like a big deal. I didn't lose any gear or anything. But I was all right, I know that there's a cougar now. So before I try to go to the camp, I'm going to get in this corner here. And I still wasn't prepared for the cougar when it came out. And so my husband was laughing at me because I'm like, bad kitty, bad kitty, as I'm trying to shoot it in the head. Because, you know, head shots are better than body shots.
Right,
I'm like,
yes.
Bad kitty, stay down, kitty. And I'm like trying to, like, aim down as fast as I can. And he's just laughing at me because I'm screaming, bad kitty. My dog is looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? There's no cat here.
There's no cat here.
And I'm just like, bad kitty, down, kitty. Good kitty. Stay down.
I want to bring up one other point.
Yeah. Because right now, I have no negatives about this game.
Well, I mean,
the story is really good.
Is good.
Everything going on with Anna and Constantine and Trinity, which are the big bad guys.
I get lost in her hair a little bit.
Who, Lara's hair or Anna's hair?
No, Lara's hair a little bit. Like, there are times where, you know, you're standing and, like, the wind's kind of blowing. So, like, it tousles and it has a really nice mechanic. Like, it flows pretty nice.
Like a ponytail should in the wind.
Right, right. But then there are some times where, like, the wind is really blowing.
Yeah.
And, like, the trees are all like, ah! And she's all like, oh. And I'm like, come on.
Just remember, it's a game at that point.
Come on, Crystal Dynamics. We all know that she'd be, like, picking hair out of her mouth.
Look, she
like,
had...
You know, because
that's when the ponytail becomes a bun.
It's like, exactly. And, like, and there are some times where, like, she'll fix the sides. I'm like, bitch, put it up. Because you're going to run by a tree and it's going to catch it. And then, like,
you're hair mechanics, that ponytail would have gotten stuck in so many limbs. Things already.
Not to mention, okay, so we're in Siberia. Hashtag it's cold.
Yeah.
Like, all the time.
Yeah.
Laura comes from money, and, like, you see her with all of her expensive climbing gear. You know she's probably rocking, like, a North Face or a Spider-fucking-insulated coat.
Yeah.
Like, and every time she's out for, like, more than 2 seconds, even though she's not covered in snow, she's all like, brr, it's cold.
No. Now, here's the thing.
No, she's not wet.
Wait.
These are just fur standing, like, still.
Panda, it is Siberia. That shit's fucking cold.
Even with
a jacket, it's not like she's got insulated pants on, and she doesn't have no meat because she's like, you know, Lara Croft. Okay. So she got no personal insulation.
I'm just saying, bro. It's Siberia.
It's Siberia, right. Though.
But she got that money. She got the good gear.
I mean, like, she should have got the heated, like, underoos, but she probably didn't because she
should have wore a hat.
She probably was not prepared to
Bitch should have wore some earmuffs. Because of all the places that would be cold on my body, wearing what she's wearing in Siberia,
she'd have frostbite. Like,
right, she'd be dead because of frostbite and hypothermia or whatever it's called.
Thermia. But here's the thing. It's a game. So
I got so annoyed by that.
It's basically just a reminder for the user to keep fucking moving. That's all it is.
It's like, brr, it's so cold.
Because you notice that she'll only say it when, like, you start going really slow or you stop. And so that's what that's an audio cue for, is to tell you, hey, dickwad, keep moving or leave the game. So that's, like, why she does it. Or if she has just come out of water or fallen into it.
It just got to be, like, just so bad. Like, yeah, I'm just that's, of all the places for her to be like, I'm cold.
It's a cue for you to pick up the pace. That's all that is.
And I would probably want to bring up one other thing, and this is just a question of narrative, because I am enjoying the game I'm playing now, and I really enjoyed the story that we got in the first game.
Yep.
But at the same time, I feel like that first game, you know, they had to do something traumatic to her to inspire her to take this journey.
Yep.
Which is why, hey, I have a bunch of my friends, and we're going on this adventure, and oh shit, really bad things happened, and most of them died.
Yep.
Whereas at least this time around, up until where you are in your game, because I'm not there yet. So there is no strong drive outside of me wanting to clear my father's name and not be considered crazy, inspiring my Laura to continue.
Well, that's going to change.
It's going to. I know, but I don't want to say that right off. But I know because of you it's going to change. But right now I don't have that. Yeah. But I still feel like the story is giving Laura enough to care about.
And also enough for you to care about Laura actually completing what it is that she's doing. Like, the game does a really good job of setting up Laura the independent badass, which it should, right? You know, the whole thing about Tomb Raider previous canon was, you know, Lara in the tombs, Lara on adventure, and she's all by herself, and oh my god, she's such a badass to be able to
do that. My god, I miss my friends! I have to survive to see my friends! All my friends are dead! I'm still a badass, though!
You know, and so this game really is, I think, again, continuing the evolution of Lara, which is exactly what I needed, was, okay, now let's see her morph into the strong, independent woman, because she got the taste of it and had to be forcibly put into it, and now this should be the embracement of that in the pursuit of her goal and what she thinks is right, which she starts to do in this game.
I think I'm still a little iffy about them putting missions in. Like, I don't hate it, but... like, at least the missions so far that I've encountered through person B have always been like, I need to get these comm signals down. Oh, hey, three of my top people have been captured. Can you help me save some lives, please? Like, it's not like, hey, Laura, I got hurt. Can you find me some berries? Like, these are missions that are truly legitimate missions.
Right. They actually would affect the area and the story going on. And they're not just thrown in side missions. Like, that's one thing that happens, I think, sometimes in action games, is that the side missions that are thrown in don't really feel like they contribute to the story. They feel like they make sense in the world, but they don't contribute to the story. All of the side missions that you do or that you're presented with in the game do, in fact, feel like not only of the other world, but that they would, in fact, impact the game. Like, there's one mission before the invasion happens, which you don't know about. Spoiler alert. There's an invasion.
La 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 la.
Sorry. That doesn't help. I'm wearing headphones. You're gonna hit it. Exactly. But you're gonna hit it anyway, because you're gonna play the game, so.
Well, yeah.
But for anybody who hasn't, there's an invasion that happens, not surprisingly. You get two more missions in with Jacob, and you know that it's coming, Panda. So
I kind of want Laura and Jacob to, like, get it on. It's really cool, Jacob.
But they can't, because you want to know why. You want to know my theory.
No!
I haven't read any of the things on the web.
I don't want to know, because I'm already writing fan fiction.
Okay, but I'm gonna flavor your fan fiction, and then we're going to call it a day. But one of the things, the main story, is that Trinity has always been chasing this prophet.
I think Trinity and Templars are like the same fucking thing.
Basically. Trinity, as it turns out, is actually a army that is somewhat under the control of somebody, I'm using quotes here,
right,
at the Vatican.
Oh.
You'll find that, which is why they're called Trinity. Get it? Holy Trinity.
Right? Yes, yes, yes.
All right. God. So that's going on. And Trinity has, throughout the ages, if you listen to all of the communications documents that are left behind, have been seeking this prophet that is immortal.
Jesus.
Well,
this and prophet. Jacob right. is Jesus.
That's my theory.
Because, hey, his name's Jacob. He looks like he's a carpenter. He's kind of got, like, that
right.
wavy brown hair. Like,
right.
And he's all like, I want to help you and give you knowledge. I don't want you to have too much knowledge.
Right.
And, like, Laura's all Eve.
Right.
Like, trying to, like, do her thing.
No. All right. So, my...
Oh, my God. Please let him be Jesus.
So, I don't know that Jacob is Jesus.
No. He's the Holy Grail. He's, like, the linear descendant of fucking Jesus. Hashtag Da Vinci Code.
He might be a scion. I don't know. But I do believe that Jacob is the prophet. Because there's a couple of documents that you come across later in the game where someone, and it's Jacob's voice, is talking about how he has to stay away from this woman because he's developed feelings for her and he can't do that.
Oh.
And then down.
I know what happens if you're immortal and then you have a baby with the person who's not immortal. That is the baby.
Sophia happens. That's the thing, right? Because Sophia is Jacob's daughter, right? So at first I was like,
oh, I didn't know that. La 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 la.
Oh, my bad. Spoiler.
Damn, son.
Sorry. Yeah, but you're about to find it out.
Right.
You're like
but
a
I
mission
didn't find
away.
It out yet.
But you're a mission away. All right. Well, yeah.
Oh, man.
So you start reading these documents, and you get to one where he basically finally admits that, like, I tried to stay away from her so much, but she came after me, and it turns out it's mutual. And I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I am only human. I am a man. Uh-huh. And then you're like, oh, the prophet got busy. And then you're like, wait. And you start doing math. You're like, prophet wasn't supposed to get busy. Prophet did get busy. We don't know about Sophia's mom, but we know that the prophet is her dad. And wait, no. Jacob's her dad. Wait, what? Jacob's a prophet. Like, and then you start looking at Jacob differently because you're like, Jacob, your eyes are really blue for brunette. And, you know, you seem to be like, and there's a document that Laura has where she starts talking about how, you know, she always feels at ease around Jacob for some reason.
Yeah,
she could talk to him.
I could tell him anything. Because he's Jesus.
Because
he's going to absolve your sins, girl.
Because he's the prophet, I think.
Because he's Jesus.
So, look.
Right, now people are going to go to Siberia thinking that Jesus lives in the mountains.
Jesus, well, if you were Jesus and you came back in today, wouldn't you want to be in Siberia where nobody could get to you?
Yeah, I'd want to live in New York.
I would want to live in Tahiti. But anyway, that's just me. If I was Jesus, I'd be in Tahiti just, you know, drinking drinks and chilling. Like, I know there's problems going on, but nah, I can't mess with you people. Because the last time I tried to help y'all, you tried to kill me twice. You killed me once. So, not having that again. I'm just going to chill right here with my little Mai Tai. It's all good.
So, One little thing,
and then we gotta wrap it up.
So if anyone hasn't started playing the game, one, I suggest playing it with a friend, and have that friend have an MLG sound board, because there is nothing more entertaining than having Laura be like, I can't do this, and then have, like, the backdrop of, like, air horns, or, like, the, oh, like, it's
the funniest thing. It's so enjoyable. On top of all the fun you're already having, having Snoop Dogg sing "Smoke Weed Every Day." No, that's not him. Who does that in that?
That would be Nate Dogg.
Right. From that song that Snoop Dogg did. That's right. But to have that playing while, like, you're picking herbs is, like, pretty funny. Just. That's all I'm going to say. I'm done.
So that's it. We highly, highly recommend Rise of the Tomb Raider. I will tell you right now, if it is not on your holiday list for the gamer that you love that hasn't already picked it up themselves, definitely do it. Definitely do it. It is a phenomenal experience. I'm really, really, really enjoying it. It's the puzzles are at times complex, but never frustratingly so. The cues that you are given for where you need to go, that entire system works really well. So it doesn't easily feed you what you need to do, but it does get you in the right direction, which is great when it comes to being a puzzler. The action sequences are fantastic. The controls are not simple, but also not impossible. You know, there are a lot of games where you have to use all the buttons in conjunction with each other, and it makes it really difficult to navigate unless you are a controller junkie to get around them or have additional fingers, which I don't have either of those things going on for me. So while you do use all your triggers, both analog sticks, everything on the D-pad, the shoulder buttons, there are not too many things that are in conjunction so much that it is impossible to play. I have not once yet gotten Gamer Claw.
Good. I'm so happy to hear that.
Which is really nice. So, between a great story, a really fantastic character, great mechanics, and just a lot of fun, Rise of the Tomb Raider is a phenomenal game, and I'll tell you right now, it's on our holiday to get list.
Well, I mean, we both already have it.
Right, but we will be putting out here, right after Thanksgiving, our What to Get the Gamer, Music Fan, Anime Fan in Your Life lists across the Esh sites. So I'll tell you right now, Rise of the Tomb Raider is going to be on there. Fallout's going to be on there. Mario Maker's going to be on there. Witcher's going to be on there. Batman Arkham Knight's going to be on there. There's going to be a lot of really good things, both recent and not recent, on that list. But Rise of the Tomb Raider is going to be up there. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to put it right up there with Batman Arkham Knight. Like, for me, my top five lists of, like, really great games this year, Arkham Knight's one of them. Rise of the Tomb
Raider. I enjoyed watching the boyfriend play Arkham Knight.
Ori is on the list. And then
that was so sad. So beautifully sad.
It really was. Life is Strange.
We are through, we're in the middle of Dark Room right now.
Ooh, okay. I will not say anything about it.
Please don't, because I've been trying very hard not to listen to people's opinions. I finished it,
and I'll tell you right now, it's fucked up. All right.
Okay.
So, Life is Strange is up there, and while I didn't play it until dawn.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. I'm not big on the horror, but it is so ingenious in the way that it attacks the stereotypes and tropes, the gameplay on it.
They're talking about a sequel.
I know. And here's the thing. For it to be so Quantum-like and not from Quantum.
Right. Well, I mean,
I gotta tip
the hat. I feel like Supermassive Games and Quantic Dream are now going to have, like, a reality off.
Because we're going to get Detroit and
Until Dawn 2. And, like, they're just going to keep building these really great.
I just need them to become one unit and make Quantic, super giant Quantic games. Yeah, that. So, highly recommend Rise of the Tomb Raider. So, so up there. And again, I've already talked about it once before, but I'm going to say that right now, like, I'm probably going to put together an article here pretty soon about what the best setup for gamers will be, like all your peripherals and gear put together. And I got to tell you right now, between my A50 headset, my Elite controller, and what's going on with my Xbox One right now, with the games that are available right now, shit.
Get games every day.
Yeah. So with that, make sure that you check out all the stuff on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. If you've been to the site recently, you'll notice that we have added a comics section. We now are talking comics on the Land of Esh. So more to come on that, but also anime, games, reviews, previews, all kinds of stuff. Make sure that you bookmark our site, subscribe to our feed, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can also get our podcast on our website, as well as pretty much any place that you consume media. So, if you're on an Android, we're in Google Play. You can search for the Eshcast and subscribe. If you're on an iOS device, or you live La Vida Apple, then you can get our podcast in iTunes on your desktop application, or in the podcast application on your iOS device, again, by searching for the Eshcast or Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. We're also on Stitcher Radio. We're also on VogNetwork.com. So if you are on the internet, so are we. You can find us pretty any place you want to look. So make sure that you subscribe to our feeds, get our podcasts, keep in the know with us, keep up with us. If there are things that you want us to talk about or review, then make sure that you hit us up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/landofesh and say, hey, Esh folk, I would love it if you would talk about blah, 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 de, blah, blah. And we'll be like, all right.
Talk about Showering with Your Dad Simulator 2015.
We haven't done that one, but if somebody asks for it,
oh,
we'll do
man.
It.
I got it for free from a friend of ours. And I have not suited up or suited down for it yet, because I don't know how I feel about showering with my dad.
Yeah. Well, it's not your dad. It's
right, but dad. You play a kid and you shower with your dad.
Yeah.
Naked with
so here's hanging. The thing. Hey, so here's the thing. If somebody asks for it, then we'll do
we
it.
We would do it.
Okay? You don't ask for it. Not
we won't do it.
It. That's got how it. It goes. All right, so make sure that you hit us up on our Facebook page. Like I said, facebook.com/landofesh. We are also on Twitter, so you can tweet at us your requests as well. We will get back to you. Sometimes it takes us a while, but we will get back to you. So hit us up on the Twitter, direct message us, or just mention us. Be like, hey, at ESH News, because that's what we are on the Twitter. Why don't you guys talk about blah, blah, blah?
Talk about diabolic lovers, more blood. No, thank you.
But if you ask for it, she'll do it. So,
no. Well, I'm already watching it, but I wish I weren't.
So hit us up, ask for it, and we'll talk about it. Like next week, when we're going to talk probably more about The Perfect Insider.
Oh, my God.
Other things. Because, hey, one of us will eventually play Fallout. One of us will eventually play Rock Band.
Okay.
I'm hoping that
that's we'll more likely on my end.
Or Guitar Hero Live. You know, on the way to Rainbow Six Siege.
Ah.
Because, you know, that's going to happen.
Yes.
So with that, I'm going to close out the show. Make sure that you check out all of our other partner network members. No Borders, No Race over at b3crew.com. Smash Rook, live Let's Plays on Wednesdays. Make sure that you check them out, smashrook.com. The Issues Guy, issuesprogram.com, and as always, the Structure Network, all fam, great stuff. We cover all areas of nerdery here at the Land of Esh, so make sure that you check out all of our channels, all of our partners, all of their content, subscribe, share, follow them on social. It's amazeballs. We love you guys. With that, I'm going to turn to my sister and say, hey, yo, sis.
Yeah?
What shit you digging this week?
Gummy bears, because I want to put them in my mouth.
Oh, I was, yeah.
What about you?
I'm just digging life because it's a beautiful thing to have and treasure, and remember that it is a gift and not guaranteed.
Amen, brother, sister, person.
I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys, stay safe.
Peace.